Do we have sound? Confirm we have sound. Okay, fantastic. We're going to backtrack slightly this morning over what we've been going through. And Jesus, extreme sacrifice. And we hear it so often, don't we? Extreme in so many terms throughout the world, you know, whether it's championships or whatever it is, extreme. And that was extreme. Some time back, I had a problem with a nerve, and I had basically all I can explain it as was toothache of the arm. It was extreme, okay? I wanted to cry out. I didn't know what to do with it, and it subsided and it came back, but it was so intense, unbelievable. And we think of Jesus, and we think how battered he was, how the Roman soldiers just had, you know, used him as a punch bag, whatever they like, entertained themselves with him during the whole night, and then going to the cross, and then the pain of having nails through your hands and your feet, and then, you know, when you had the pain and the anguish of that being hung up there with it all on, and you think, wow, you know, why did he have to go through this? And then the disciples around him, again, the disciples, you know, in sheer despair. Look, this is not going to happen, you know. Surely he's going to do something and come down any moment. Surely this is going to end, but it didn't. His mother, how did she feel about the whole thing, about the blessings, about the way she felt about her son and the way she looked out to him to see him dying on that cross? So what was it worth? You know, why was that extreme sacrifice necessary? And I think there's a little bit of a clue to that, because as he died on the cross, what happened? The veil in the temple split down the middle. Okay? And do you know, the Jews showed me something once, and I suddenly saw it a different way. Up to that point, I'd learnt, you know, this is so we can all go in now and see God there, you know? And the Jews, no, that's not the way it works, you know? It opened so God could come out. God could come out from the temple, you know. God came out now, and God is here to bless us and move upon us, you know. And this was the amazing thing about it. God is now available to each and every one of us. And I've been a Christian for, I don't know, over 50 years, and I've been pushed into the deep end of ministry, if you like, probably for 48 of them. And the word of God is positive. God's support is positive in every area. And so often, when it gets cloudy, you know, we sort of wonder where we're going. We don't know, but our trust is in God because God is positive. Now, one of the differences was with the New Testament as such, the Old Testament for a people, the New Testament is for a people, but it's also for individuals. Now, to give you some sort of an idea, in Romans, in chapter 5, it says, "So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, we can now have real peace." That's the first verses. "Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, for because of our faith, he has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand." Okay? And "we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has in mind for us to be." I'll read that again. "So now, since I have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promise, I can have real peace with him because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for me. For because of my faith, he has brought me into his place of highest privilege where I now stand, and I can confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has in mind for me." Yeah. Amen? I can look forward to that as an individual. God is now dealing with us as individuals. So that's really good, isn't it? God is there, you know, his presence is there. And the other day, I went somewhere and I had 15 minutes before I started, so I thought, right, I'd go and get a cup of coffee. So I went over, you know, desire of the guy, you know, must have a cup of coffee before I start this thing. And I went over, and they said, oh, it's over there. And I went over there, and there's a counter with about four people on it, and there's six people waiting, and there's a whole mass of people being served. And I thought, okay. And I waited there for about 7 minutes and gave up because, you know, I wasn't getting get anywhere at all. Nothing had moved at all. And I went back. And God said, you know, there is no queues with me. There is no queues. You don't have to queue up. It's not a case of going and wondering if I'm going to get what I want, you know. It's not a question of thinking, you know, is he going to see me? You know, is he going to be there? You know, is this system, or are they going to say, look, we've just finished. We've turned the coffee machine off or something stupid like that, you know. Is it going to be like that? No, 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 it's not, is it? Because our God is there, and our God is available to us. And, you know, do we take this for granted? Well, we should take it for granted that he's available. So often we don't. Now, okay, that's absolutely fantastic, but what about the next three verses when it says, all right, I'll read it the way that you'd like to hear it. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us, and they help us to learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more and more each time we use it until finally our hope and faith is strong and steady. Then when this happens, we are able to hold our heads high, no matter what happens, and know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us, because God has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, that's all good, but, you know, we can sort of read that and we think, okay, well, others, you know, can go through his problems, but I have problems differently, and you don't know what I'm suffering and all the rest of it. Now, read it again. Okay, we'll read it a second time. Now, it says, I can rejoice too when I run into problems and trials, for I know that they are good for me. They help me to learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in me and helps me trust God more each time I use it until finally my hope and faith is strong and steady. Then when that happens, I am able to hold my head high no matter what happens and know that all is well, for I know how dearly God loves me, and I feel his warm love everywhere within me, because God has given me the Holy Spirit to fill my heart with his love. Now, isn't that the way it is, you know? Isn't that the way it is with us? And yet, so often, we arrive in that whole situation and something happens, and what do? We talk about it, we pray about it, we worry about it, and we don't talk to him about it. You know, even sometimes you have a problem and you talk to your partner about it, talk to your wife about it. And if you talk about it, you suddenly realize the obvious thing that you've missed anyway. So if you can do it with your wife, how about doing it with God, you know? I was driving along one day trying to work something out, and God says, don't think about it, you know, pray about it, talk to me about it, you know, talk to me about it. Because so often we feel it's all too hard for him. We want to solve the problem ourselves. We want to stand alone and solve it all, and yet it's not working, you know, and it's falling upside down. And then one day it does. One day we think, okay, I'm going to go for God. And it does fall upside down. And we're so upset about the whole thing, you know. You think, I'm a complete failure. God thinks I'm a failure, etc., etc., you know. And we give up. We want to give up, you know, because we've just failed him. You know, when Peter tried really, really hard to do the right thing when Jesus was crucified, he tried to do the right thing and he failed, you know. What did Jesus say to him? Jesus was so, you know, full of love for him because he understood his motives. He understood what had happened. And doesn't he understand that? Isn't it better to try something and fail than not try it at all? So often, you know, doubt comes into our mind, you know, because we see ourselves as we see ourselves. We don't see us as God. And that says, you know, we can look forward to becoming all that God has in mind for us. And if he calls us, and he puts his hand upon us and his spirit upon us, and he calls us to do something, who are we to argue with him and say, look, you know, don't know, you know, I'm a clown, I can't do it, you know, I can't stand, I can't do these things, you know. And so often, God brings something to us. Suddenly, we come to a situation and we feel we see somebody has a problem. Now, it's good to be a missionary, because sometimes if you're totally on your own, you've got to make the decision anyway. And when you're in a church, you can think, hey, somebody else can do that. That's somebody else's job, you know. But you see somebody has a need. And you think, what do I do, you know? I really should pray for this person, but I don't know what to say. But they have a need, you know. They have an obvious need. Surely you can just pray for them, you know, to be healed. So then you think, okay, shall I? No, maybe I shouldn't. And then by that time it's gone, the opportunity's lost, you know. Doubt's wiped it out completely. But you say, God prompts you, so what do you do? You say, okay. And as you pray for them, something happens, you know. As you pray for them, it releases this Holy Spirit to take charge of the whole situation. There's three things involved there. There's emotion, right? There's physical, and then there's the Holy Spirit. You can be emotional about something and think, yes, I need to pray for this person. If you don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. Because the Bible tells me, faith without works is dead. Okay? I can pray about it, you know. God might say to you, you know, you are going to be a great Bible teacher, but you don't bother to read your Bible and you don't bother to study. And you say, but God says I'm going to be a great Bible teacher. You know, what's happening? Why am I not a Bible teacher? Because you haven't done anything about it, you know. You have to do something about it. You have to do something when God touches you. Otherwise, you miss the opportunities. And haven't you noticed, when you do something the first time, when you do something the first time, it's hard, you know? And maybe it's cooking a cake or putting an engine together or something. The second time, it's a bit easier. The third time, it's even easier. And if you do it often enough, you can almost do it with your eyes closed, right? But the more you deal with problems and the more confidence you have in God, the greater your confidence builds up in his problems. Because you know that you're going to come through the other end. Because even David said, you know, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, right? Okay, why? Because you're with me, because you're with me. We as individuals, each one of us can say that, because you're with me, you know? Your rod and your staff, they come from me. We know that we're coming through, we're going to come through to the other end. And we can have confidence in our God. So do we have confidence in our God, or do we waste our time worrying about something which God can solve, you know? You say, oh God, you know, this is all too hard for you. And he says, look, this is what I specialize in. I specialize in problems. I specialize in bringing you through. That's why Jesus died on the cross, that I might personally, with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, be able to bring you through these times of trouble and situation. And it goes on to remind us in verse 11 of that same chapter, and it says, now I... Well, right, okay, we're going to read it generally, okay, first of all. Now we rejoice in this wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God. And we tend to think that, you know, so often we say, maybe that's good for somebody else, but it's not for me. We think, hey, hang on, what does it say in the Bible, you know? No, it's not for me, that's for somebody else. But really, when we read it, remember that it's for a group and it's for an individual. And as an individual, it says, now I can rejoice in my wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for my sins and making me a friend of God. Wow! A friend of God, you know. How do you greet your friends, you know? Do you greet your friends with terror? Do you think they're going to rip you up because you've tried to do something for them and you've bought a birthday present and it's a month out or something, you know? That only happens with your wife, of course. Okay, so now it goes back and he says, okay, what happened in the start? Adam had a fantastic friendship with God, all right? They walked the garden, everything was really good, you know? And there's no problem with Adam, you know, talking to God and sharing with him. And then suddenly something happens. A lie, and there hadn't been lies up to that point, remember? A lie came to Eve, and she decided it would be a good thing to do. And she obeyed somebody other than God. But she knew it was wrong. She knew God said, don't do this, but she did it anyway. And then she went along to Adam and said, hey, look, you know, take this, this is good. And he took it. And that was the end, because after that, God came and he said, where are you? And Adam and Eve said, oh, look, you know, we've just covered ourselves because we felt embarrassed. embarrassed before God? You must be joking. What a stupid answer to come out with. And then what happened next? He said, look, you know, well, Eve, you know, she gave it to me. He's saying, you know, she gave it to you, but you knew what was right and knew what was wrong, and you still went ahead and did it anyway. And that broke down that relationship with God. That was the end of that relationship with God. But now we're back in that place where we have that relationship with God. We're a friend relationship. Yes, our God, yeah, but a friend relationship. And we forget that he's there. We forget that this relationship is in every area of problems within our life. And you know, sometimes the problem we have is we can't see around the corner. And it frustrates us because we can't see around the corner. But you know, we keep going in God and we come around the corner and lo and behold, he shows us the way through the situation that's before us. The other problem we have is sometimes we have a problem and it's a big problem and maybe we want some ministry, maybe we want to do something in our life for God and we have this problem and we seem to think God's deaf on this one because we think, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till that special speaker comes along, or I'm going to wait till I go to the big church that's got a million people in it, you know, and they're having a revival. I'm going to go along then. God saying, you think I'm deaf or something? Don't you think I'm here? Don't you think I'm here? And we put it off and we put it off and we put it off and maybe we get lost in the crowd or maybe it doesn't happen because we haven't, okay? We haven't accepted the fact that God is there to bless us, okay? Now, he wants the best thing for our life, you know? It doesn't want, you know, us to be frustrated in not being able to move, and it all comes back purely and simply to our attitude towards him and our understanding that God is there within our lives. And we spend all this time wasting our time trying to handle it, trying to do it alone, you know? And I remember, I was going to say something stupid like 1,000 years ago, but a long, long time ago, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd worked it all out and I'd been prayed for and prayed for and prayed for, emotional, all sorts of things happening. And I hadn't, nothing had happened, you know? And I thought, well, okay, now you can imagine how long ago this was. A youth camp was coming up. So I thought, fantastic, you know, this youth camp will be good. I can get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then so I forgot about it almost. And then what happened was the fact that this guy came along and he was preaching. And I'm not even too sure he's a special speaker, but he was preaching about something. But although he specialized in the Holy Spirit, he wasn't preaching about the Holy Spirit. And afterwards, he just sort of said, is anybody needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So I thought, well, yeah, of course I do. So I went out and laid hands on me, and that was that, you know, an explosion of the power of God. And I hadn't really planned it, you know, but it happened. And I would go into this because this is what you need to know about the fact, the position we are with God, that the job I was in, I had what we call a provisional license because I'd arrived in Australia and they didn't accept my British certificate, so they gave me a provisional license, you see. And they said, you've got to take these two exams. And what happened was the fact that I had the notification, and the notification said to me on one of the exams, it said, it's anticipated this date will be the date for the exam. Now, what happened was the fact the guy in the job before me took this exam five times, and they set it up for him five times, and he didn't attend. And they got so frustrated with him, he got sacked. So I've gone and done exactly the same thing. So on the Monday, what happens? I got a letter cancelling my licence. Meant I can't work. It's like a bus driver. I wasn't driving buses, but I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do my job anymore. And I've just been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. And I just sort of thought, wow, you know, this is interesting. That's all I thought about it. I didn't really worry about it at all because I was so full of God. And I wrote a letter explaining what happened, and guess what, they accepted it, no trouble at all. And I took the exam a bit later and, you know, passed it. But the thing was, it would have been so easy, wouldn't it? So easy to have lost everything. But I think, God, you know, you're not looking after me, this is ridiculous. Now I'm unemployed, you know, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. On Sunday, I'm unemployed on Monday. What sort of record is that, you know? That's a disaster. But there's no disasters with God as such. There's no disasters, you know. Obviously, there's times of problems, times when things so often things don't go right. You know, so often things don't go right. We don't know where we're going. And yet, keep our eyes on the Lord, you know. Keep our eyes, our confidence is Him. Remembering that He's there, remembering He's with us, and remembering, most of all, He's not deaf. And He's not blind. And when we feel we can't talk to Him about something, He knows it. He knows what's within our heart and within our spirit. He knows it already. So what's the problem? What's the problem? If I have a problem with somebody and I don't talk about it, what's going to happen? You know, it's just going to grow, isn't it? But you talk about it and you realize, you know, that's it. You can talk about it and sort it out, okay? And sorting things out with God, even when we make a complete mess of something, we're one step further to being successful in that thing. So what have we got to do? We've got to work on that one. We've got to work on one, remembering where He is, remembering who He is, remember that He called us and He knew who He was calling. He knew our abilities. He doesn't ask us to do something we can't do. He doesn't do that. If He asks us to do something, you know, Mel, he suddenly says, okay, lead. And Mel thinks, well, there's only going to be me there. He says, lead. So she says, well, in that case, I'll do it anyway. And guess what? Everybody gets blessed because she's obedient to what God calls us for. And are you going to be obedient to what God calls you for, or are you going to question it every time? And like as I said, if you get used to it, if you get used to something, if you get used to saying yes, yes, yes to God every time, instead of saying no, I'll think about it, or maybe like the two brothers, one says, no, I'm not going to do it, and the other one says, yes, I will, and the one says, I will, he doesn't bother, and the one says, no, he suddenly thinks about it and thinks, I should do it. But nevertheless, there's hesitation there, but there shouldn't really be hesitation when we get to know our God, you know, because He wants the best thing for our life. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to grow. And as we grow, our relationship with Him becomes stronger. Sometimes He asks us to do something which is, when we go back over it, we think, how on earth did that happen? And He gives us faith to do something because we know it's God. And my cry of our heart, I was 80 the other day, and what I really wanted to do is what I've done tonight, today, you know. What I wanted to do to celebrate is to celebrate the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, okay? I'm not ashamed of this gospel, the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, okay? And that's to each and every one of you, okay? And it doesn't matter of your nationality. It doesn't matter even if you're British. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're Australian. You know? It's not important because we're all one in Christ. That's why we're one in Christ. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what language. It doesn't matter, you know, what colour you are. It doesn't matter, these things, because we're all one in Christ. And as we come together, you know, these promises are to each and every one of us. And so if you have doubts, if you feel weak, if you want prayer, you know, you come up and we'll pray for you. Because I believe in the laying on hands, I believe in prayer, and I believe in God answering that prayer. Okay? Now, we don't have a deaf God. We don't have a God that has a cue, right? And we have a God who's all-knowing and all-understanding the problems and the situations that we're in. So, if only you remember those words from, okay, I'd suggest to you read Romans 5, you know, read those first six verses until you know them, until you believe they're for you. Now, since I have been made right in God's sight by faith in His promises, I can have real peace with Him because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for me. For because my faith has brought me into His place of highest privilege where we now stand, and I confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has in mind for me to be. And also, you're going to go on with that other bit, which normally gets left out. So I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice when I have problems. I'm going to rejoice when things, because what are they going to do? They're going to send me to the Lord. They're going to take me to Him to talk about it, all right? So I can rejoice because it's another exercise in growth. And we want to see an exercise in growth within our church, in every area, okay, individually and collectively. but most of all individually, because if it doesn't go individually, it won't go collectively. So just let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are. We thank you because you died. We thank you because you rose again. We thank you, our Father, for your wisdom, for your understanding, for your purpose and your plan for our lives. Our old Father, as we come to you now, in Jesus' name, we just thank you because you're always there. We thank you because you never sleep. We thank you, Lord, because you love us. We thank you, Lord, because you understand us. And we thank you, Lord, because you want the best thing for our life. So we would say, open my eyes. Open my eyes and I might see you. Open my eyes and I might see you in every circumstance of my life, that I might not only grow within my life, that I might reach out and help others to grow as well. And that growth resulting in a greater growth within my life. So Father, 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 this Father relationship which we have with you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, just let it be so much part of us, as part of our breathing, Lord, that we might understand your purpose and your strength and your power and your love and your care for every part of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.